Hey, let's give the praise team a round of applause. Amen. It's just, I don't know if we need coffee or whatever, but the sun is out. We should be smiling, right? And we're Christians. We're saved by grace. If you struggled this week, come to church and you realize that you are not worthy of Jesus, you are correct with your theology. No one is worthy of him. Amen? At least we're in agreement with that one. We're going to tackle the second part of the message that I entitled The Trouble of Worry, part two. We have 4 points for this message, and we tackled two last week. The acronym STOP, sin. Worrying is sin. And second point is trust God. When you're worrying, you're not trusting God. And the remedy to stop worrying, one of them, is to trust God. And tonight, or this afternoon, we'll be tackling 3 and 4, which is open his promises. You have to read and know the Bible in order for you to know his promises. And then number 4, through Jesus Christ, or through Christ Jesus. That, let's say a word of prayer, because our audio is under attack, so let's have the Holy Spirit take over. Father, we know that you are in full control of all things. Thank you for bringing us here this afternoon. We thank you for providing this building for us, and we know, Father God, that all things are from you and that everything will happen according to your will. We thank you for the songs that prepared our hearts, Lord God. We ask now, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us. Open our hearts, Lord God, and our minds to your voice. Father, please remove distractions. Help us, Father God, this afternoon and teach us. Forgive us, Lord, for all of our sins. Let nothing, Lord God, about us and our fallen nature prevent us from hearing your message. Soften our hearts, open our minds. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Worrying, right? Worrying. If you are alive, you probably have worried. You're probably worried now. If you are an American, it says in the statistics that 75% of Americans are worried or stressed. Number one country that leads stress is Afghanistan. I think we can understand that. Why? All the challenges in their world. Lebanon's number 2, Sierra Leone, Turkey, Liberia, Sri Lanka, Uganda, Cyprus, Ecuador, Greece, Iraq, Peru, and then look at this, United States of America. You would wonder why we're in that list. Compared to all the countries that were in there, we have an advanced country. We have a very wealthy country. Our medical field here is the best. Millionaires or billionaires from the Philippines, they come here to get better because we have an advanced medical field here. Our roads are better, although, you know, for Nevada now, for Reno, it doesn't feel like it anymore. But compared to the third world countries, driving here shouldn't be so stressful. Life in general in America should not be stressful. But according to the statistics, that's just not true. A little recap for last week. Sin. Worrying is sin. We used the top 2 things that people worry about last week. One is money, and then the other one is health. Now, just a review. Matthew 6, 31, 34. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus repeatedly used the line, do not worry about basic needs. It is a command. When we worry about them, God says that we act like pagans. If God gives us what we need, does, then there is no need to worry. Amen? Take it too early. One of the problem why we worry is because we fall into the sin of greed. Remember the lie of mammon? The lie of mammon is that you don't have enough. Not enough. You have a nice car, which was new 2 years ago. It's not enough anymore. You have two houses, not enough. You have a nice job, not enough. You're about to retire, not enough. You're already retired, not enough. The lie of mammon is always not enough. And then again, we tackle trust. Worrying is sin because God commanded us to not worry. And not only is greed a factor at times of worry, when we worry, we act or we show that we don't trust God. We don't trust Him that He can provide or that He is providing everything that we need. We don't trust Him that He knows what our needs are. And we act, when we worry, we act that we tell God in a way that what we have is not enough. Remember Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Your heart must be trusting God, not in your material things, not in your savings, not in your career, not in your business. You should be trusting in Him, and we should not be leaning into our own understanding, even though our bank account seems to be just always on the negative. You know, it's going down, or our career, see, the promotion that we were counting on is not there, but then God is saying, trust me, and it's not making sense. God is saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Remember Hebrews 13:5? Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content. See, contentment is from God. The society continues to tell us to more, 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 while God says, be content. Because God said, and this is the only way you can be content. Never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. How can that be? When God becomes your everything, then you will be content. Christians, we have God. Amen? If you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. So we, amongst every other men, compared to them, we should be content with our lives. And then Matthew 6:33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now in regards to health, last week we showed 22 accounts in the New Testament of God healing people. And then we discussed it, right, that during Jesus' time, before the crucifixion, He did not heal everyone, though He healed many. Even in our time, there are times that He heals people, and there are times that He doesn't. But for us Christians, we are not to worry about it, because we have received the ultimate healing of all. Amen? The forgiveness of our sins. But how can we trust someone who we don't know? That you don't trust a complete stranger. Although there are times that you do. You know, when you travel and you get on the plane, you don't know the pilot. But for some odd reason, we would trust the pilot. Because then we put the trust in the governing body that watches pilots or trains them or gives them the licenses or trains them. We always put our faith and our trust on someone. Sometimes we know it, sometimes we don't know it. But when it comes to worry, we can't get away from it. We have to open His promises. We have to read and know the Bible. Now, time is flying like crazy. The first quarter of the year is almost over. How are you in your Bible journey? If you have not read the Bible from cover to cover and call yourself a Christian, that's a contradiction. It's a contradiction. It's like a chef that doesn't know how to cook. A driver that has no car. Maybe that's a poor one. There you go. I know opening the Bible, reading the Bible, knowing His Word seems so cliche for us Christians because we've said it many times, we've heard it too many times. However, it still holds, it is the truth, it's one truth that holds or breaks our trust in God. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. The only way that you can trust someone or something is if they have earned it. If the person has earned it, or you've heard testimonies or read feedback about the product or the company or the restaurant, then you can trust them. Now, granted that there are times that we don't get to do that. We don't get to investigate. But we still end up needing to trust in that person. But when it comes to God, there is no other way to trust Him other than knowing more about Him, His ways, and His will. And there's, you know, of course, when you're sitting here, that's one way. When you're listening to messages, that's another way. Your podcast. But mind you, there is no alternative in reading His Word. Because you're going to have a discussion, a conversation with Him, and you're going to say, Lord, this is hard to understand. I need You to please reveal to me what Your will is in my life. Please reveal Yourself to me. Giving Him the time of your day. I know the average show in Netflix for an episode is 35 minutes to 45 minutes. I've said it before and I'll say it again. For you to finish the Bible in 1 year, you just need to give Him 15 minutes a day. Is that too much to give God? Now, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. But you should wonder, you should ask yourself, why am I not giving God the time? Why can't I give Him the time? I mean, you want to know His promises. In order for you to not worry about your challenges, whether it's relational, what am I supposed to do with my marriage? It's becoming very challenging. What am I supposed to do with my prodigal child? What am I supposed to do with my life that seems to, my plan seems to be not heading to the direction that I've been wanting? What am I supposed to do? For some of us, we just need to stop watching the news. If you're politically involved, it would stress you out. But you have to open the Bible. Do you know that the promises, there's 7,487 made by God. Someone counted it. This person named Everick R. Storms. They are waiting for us. The promises are waiting for us to test and prove them. Now, this guy says, we go to church and sing Standing on the Promises. But some of us are simply sitting on them. What is it? You know what it is? Because the enemy is real. The enemy wants us to not know God's promises for us. The enemy does not want us to know how to live a victorious life. The enemy wants us to believe that you don't need to read His Word. You just need to say a real quick prayer, be a member of a church or of a church, and then live your life as you please. Don't give God enough time or any time at all, but just that one quick prayer, God will rescue you. He wants you to believe that. No, God can rescue us immediately when He wants to, even though we don't give Him time. That is true. But we're talking about to not worry, to win against the life of worry, to remove that from us. In order for us to know that we can trust God is that we have to learn the promises. Now, there are two types of promises. There's conditional promises. Those are promises that God makes with us that is conditional on both parties doing something. I will do this if you will do that. And then there are the unconditional promises. The unconditional promises, it solely rests on God, and it does not depend on anything we do or can do. But again, 7,487. If you want to fact check that, let me know. If I can let everybody know that I was wrong. But this person counted it. Remember, this is an example of a conditional promise. James 1, 5 to 6. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You're going to pray. You're going to pray to God and say, Lord, give me wisdom. I need to understand your word. I need to know what your will is for me. I need to know what I'm supposed to do about this circumstance or this situation or this challenge that I'm facing. Lord, I need your help with this concern that I have that is consuming me. And what does the promise say? If you ask him, he will give you the understanding. Now, here's an example of an unconditional promise. Luke 24, 44. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Unconditional promise of God has nothing to do with us. The conditional ones, we have a part of. But the one thing that we truly need to know about the promises of God is that when we open his word, we will learn. When you finish the Bible, when you finish in knowing who God is, one thing that should be above everything, every lesson, or any of his character that you've realized, is that he is sovereign. That's one cure for worry. Realizing that God is God, that he is in full control of all things. No one can force his hand. Amen? God is the God of the universe. Now, if you are worried about certain things and you think you can do better than God, it's time for you to resign from that position. Do you realize that none of us were born to be warriors or warriors to worry? We actually mastered that throughout the years. We developed the skill of worrying. We call it responsible thinking, planner, type A person. Although there are certain advantages in that. We discussed about planning last week, right? That God encourages planning. But when we're letting the issue consume us, and that we are thinking that everything is up to us, that is when we are worrying, and that is when we're sinning and we're not trusting God. Quite simple. The lesson of do not worry is simple. Just don't do it. But it seems to be so much more difficult to apply. It's like math for me. Alonzo shows me the things that he's working on in his math. I see letters, and I see a few numbers. But I see letters, and I'm like, how are you solving Z and Y? And is that an R? But you know, for God, all of these things that's confusing us, it's not affecting him. And the only thing that he's telling us is, don't even try to understand it. Isn't that what he says? Don't lean on your own understanding. All he said is just, trust me. Trust me. Remember we discussed the Israelites last week when they were in their journey, during their journey after escaping Egypt, and then they were worried about what to eat, and then God provided for them, but yet they still worried about tomorrow, even though God said, don't save anything except for the sixth day. And what did they do? They still hoarded it. Remember Jesus used the birds as an example? Be like the birds. They're not worried. I mean, I don't know how many 401ks the birds have. Have you seen a bird that stores in a bigger barn and they're talking amongst themselves like, hey, you know what? Next year I'm going to build a bigger nest. I'm probably going to build 3 more nests around this area. No, they're just existing. And they always sing. It's hard for us to sing when we're worried, when something's concerning our hearts. Because worry, it burdens the heart, doesn't it? So it's hard for us to sing. But the birds, after a storm, they're singing. They're always singing. You know, us Christians, we should be like them. Because our Heavenly Father watches us. Our Heavenly Father values us more than He values the birds. We have to open up His promises. We have to read His Word. We have to know Him. We need to spend time with Him. In order for us to trust Him, we have to spend more time with Him. Romans 8:28. I think we all know this. If you belong to this church, we always recite this verse, right? We know that in everything, God works for the good of those who love Him. This is the easy-to-read version. These are the people God chose because that was His plan. God is sovereign. If you belong to God and you love Him, everything that is happening to you, God knows about it. And He is at work in any and all of the challenges that you are facing. He is at work. It's either He's at work trying to remind you that you need to depend on Him constantly, or it's either Him reminding you that you are sinning and that your eyes and your heart is straying away from Him. He is always at work. And if God is at work and He is good and He is powerful and He knows all things, then what are we worried about? I'm worried about my mortgage. I'm worried about my bills. I'm worried about my credit card. I'm worried about my kids going to college. Opening His Bible, reading it, understanding Him, learning about Him, it develops something in us. And remember, Paul reminded us in Romans 12, 1-2, I urge you, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How are you supposed to renew your mind if you are not consuming His word? In your intellectual diet, it involves everything that you watch, all the shows that you watch, the books that you read. If you go to school, they indoctrinate you. They tell you there's no God and everything else is relative. If you watch TV or shows, they have their own agenda there trying to tell you how your life must be or should be. All the advertisements are there for us to what? To consume. That's their purpose. And how are you combating that? How are you fighting that? As a believer of God, how are you supposed to live for God and offer your life as a living sacrifice for Him? If you're not consuming, if you're not reading, if you're not knowing His promises, His will for you, It is the only way. A change of mind. We are a new creation created in Christ Jesus, but we can't stay and not read His Word. The music that you listen to, it's not a mystery that the secular music is completely against God's will, because everything about the world is against God's will. So how are we fighting against these things? This is why we worry. We become worried because we have believed the lie of the enemy. We have believed the lie of the world that we don't have enough. And then we end up comparing ourselves. We compare ourselves with others. You drove in with in 2020, you bought a nice Camaro, right? And now it's 3 years old. And your neighbor drives in with a nice Corvette, a 2024 Corvette. And what do you say to yourself? Like, man, my car's old. The moment we compare, because our eyes are not content. You have a beautiful wife, you have beautiful children, you have a happy life, but you keep saying that you'd rather be a millionaire. You're healthy, and you have a family. But you're so worried about other things, paying the bills because you accumulated it, because you were greedy, you were not satisfied. Now you have no time to spend with them. Renewal of our thinking can only be accomplished when we immerse ourselves in His Word. And when we immerse ourselves in His Word, we will know about His promises, and they will become real to us when the going gets tough. When there is a circumstance that arises in front of us, we will know. The Holy Spirit in us will say, listen, God said this about this challenge that you are facing. Now, I started the message last Sunday with Romans 8:31-36. I never really got to it because of the time. But here's two verses from it. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Now think about it. Paul gives a series of redundant questions, right? But some of us Christians, when I say us Christians, we believe that God has died on the cross for us, that we are saved from our sins, that after this life we will be with Him in heaven for eternity, in a place that there's no more worry, there's no more pain, there's no more hunger, right? We believe that. But you know, we become practical atheists when it becomes about things of this world. When it becomes about these things, we start wondering. Worse is, we don't even wonder anymore. We say to ourselves, well, since God can't do this for me, I'm going to have to do another thing. I'm going to have to find a way. See, why will he gave us His Son. He died on the cross, the worst, the most horrible and horrific way to die up to now. He did it for us. He loves us that much. Why will He not give us what we need? Again, the operative word is need. The clarity must be need versus want. And then we end up questioning God's goodness when our prayers seems to be not being answered the way we want it. We question God's goodness. And that is what the enemy loves to do. He wants us to always question God's motive. Surely God didn't say He'll make us wonder and think about it. Is that what He really said? And then He'll say, well, because He doesn't want you to know between good and evil. Why should you not want more? I mean, you earned it. You studied for that. You're the one who's working it. Should you get something nicer and bigger and better? Only when we open our Bibles and when we immerse ourselves in His Word and learn of Him, about His will and His ways for us, will we bring ourselves to trust Him. That's the only way. We need to trust God to eliminate worry, because worry is sin. We eliminate sin. To trust God, we need to know God by reading, learning His promises and commands to us. You know, there was a boy, there was a group of botanists. They noticed through their binoculars a flower of rarity and beauty laying deep in a ravine. A curious young boy was watching nearby, and then the scientists told him they would pay him if he would agree to be lowered over the cliff to retrieve the flower below. The boy took one look down and said, "I'll be back in a minute." A short time later, he returned, followed by a gray-haired man. Stop looking at me and stop smiling. Approaching the botanist, the boy said, "I'll go over that cliff and get that flower for you if this man holds the rope. He's my dad." Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, why don't we trust God enough? When our worry seems to be consuming us and eating us alive, we're losing sleep on it, we're losing weight, we're gaining weight, we're going back to alcohol, we're binging in food, and we're just doing all other things to numb us from the worry. Why is it? Is He not strong enough for you? Is He not good enough for you? What you think is failing, have you not realized before? Did you not realize before that what seemed to be a failure of God was His blessing for you? Because you prayed for that guy, right? And you saw how he turned out, right? You prayed for that sister that you ended up not marrying. You married the other sister, and you saw the sister, how she turned out, right? Good thing He didn't answer your prayer, right? And when, I don't know about you, but for me, there have been many times that I asked God on a quick prayer, "Lord, just take me now." And I'm so glad He did it, because I've seen so many miracles that He has done in my life and other people's lives. Does He not know what you need? Our fourth point: peace through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, 7, don't be anxious, don't be worried about something. About something? Don't be anxious about certain things. It says, don't be anxious about anything. But in a few things, by prayer, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's pretty cut and clear, right? Although, you know, I get it. Before we go to prayer, sometimes we tend to talk it out with friends first, you know? Because it helps us to release, to vent it out. I get it. Sometimes that to drink alcohol to numb our concerns and worries seems to be a quick fix, rather than getting down on our knees and praying to God repeatedly for hours and days and weeks. But you do also get it, right? We do get it that it's temporary. Anything that we can do outside of God are all temporary. Don't you agree? You can only numb yourself to enough or too much. Because the power of the alcohol will go away, and then by the time you're done, you're more depressed. The high of the cocaine can only last you so long. And then by the time it's gone, your problem is still there. You can run, but you can't hide. The real deep concerns of our lives can only, if we go with the world, it's all temporary and it's still very much there. But you see, the opposite is true with God. With God, you trust Him and then you pray everything to Him. And for some miraculous reason, even though your problem is still very much there, after praying and surrendering it to God, He gives you this sense of peace in your heart. There is peace there, knowing that He has heard it. He heard your prayer. For some reason, you have peace because of that, and that you trust Him. Because you read His promises, you've learned about Him, you heard from other believers of a testimony that, of someone who went through the same challenge that you're now going through, and it encourages you. And you say, Lord, I know You heard my prayer, and I know You remain good. I know You have the power to solve this issue. I will rest in You, because that's what You told me. Though my problem is still very much here, I know You said that You are in control of everything. So I don't know what your concerns are or your worries are. I don't know what's been burdening your hearts. If it's a financial concern, if it's a health concern, if it's a concern with your relationships. I don't know if your concern is your salvation. Because you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have not trusted Him there. Maybe this afternoon should be the afternoon that you will give your life to Him. Because in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God for the but the gift of God. Now for the Christians, I don't know how your week went. If your week went to where you didn't live glorifying God, and you've sinned time and time again, you've piled up your sins again, and you're worried. You're saying, man, did I lose my salvation? We know that it's not true, right? That if you read and know and heard about Jesus dying on the cross, when He said the line, it is finished, it is paid for. Your sins yesterday, today, and tomorrow were all paid for by God. Amen? So don't worry. God already knew you were going to screw up, that I was going to screw up. That's why He paid it in advance. Isn't that amazing? No? I guess so. A couple of guys. So to put it all together, we have to look at the simple story, the simple account when Jesus turned water into wine. Or this is what we're going to read, but I'll share the rest. John 2, 1-10, the first three verses says here, Jesus changes water into wine. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and His disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to Him, they have no more wine. And if you've been reading your Bibles, if you're a Sunday school honorary student, you know that Jesus complied, right? This was Jesus' first miracle. But I'm showing this because of the simplicity of it.
There was an issue. They were out of wine. Mary knew who Jesus is. God in the flesh. So she brought the issue to God by saying, what? There's no more wine. How simple does it need to be? There was no elaborate words. There was no other ritual observed. She didn't have to take a shower first, change her clothes, and then go to God. She immediately went to God and presented in simple words what the issue was, because she trusted him. She knew him, she trusted him, and she lifted up in prayer. Folks, again, promises of God, the fact that he hears all our prayers, the fact that he wants us to bring all our concerns at his feet, the fact that he keeps telling us, trust me, give it to me, come to me, all of you are weary and tired, and I will give you rest. There's a constant invitation from him to trust him, to rely on him, to bring everything to him in prayer. And then the simplicity, just say what the problem is. Now, do you know God? If you do, say amen. Do you have any concerns? Do you have any worries? Give that to him. Do you trust him? If you do, say amen. Then just trust that he will answer your request perfectly. It could be a yes, a no, wait, or are you serious? Not again. You have not learned. No. God always answers according to his will. Amen? So the trouble of worry is that it is against God's will. It is a sin to worry, because we show that we don't trust God. And when we worry, instead of worrying, we need to start trusting him. In order for us to stop worrying and to stop sinning, we need to trust him. In order for us to trust him, we need to know his word. In order for us to know his word, we need to spend time in his word. In order for us to truly receive the peace through Christ Jesus, we need to learn to pray to him. Amen? And that is our message this afternoon. Thank you very much for your patience. And after this message, if you are still worried, I will pray for you. Let me know. Because prayer from other believers is necessary. We need to learn to unlearn the skill of worrying that we've developed throughout the years. As the music team make their way up here, if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please come up so we can lead you into that prayer. Or if you've been visiting us for quite some time and the Lord has impressed it in your heart and your mind that this is the body of believers that you need to belong to, please come up so we can recognize you. Or if you just need prayer because you've been worried about something, a particular person, a particular issue in your life, please come up so we can pray for you. Let's all stand as I close us in prayer. Father, we thank you for who you are. You are good. And you are loving. We thank you for your grace that never ends, your mercy and grace that is new every morning. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord God. We ask now, Lord God, at the times that we still fail in our trust in you, we ask for your help, Lord God. Let your Holy Spirit that indwells in us, Lord God, encourage us and remind us to just leave everything up to you, to cast all our concerns over to your feet, Lord God. We don't have the power, Lord God, to solve these things, but you do. And when the time that we have the capability to solve the problem, Lord God, is because you just allowed it. Help us, Lord God, to continue to trust in you, especially during the times that it doesn't make sense. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we failed in that. I pray for those who are worried about their health, Lord God. I pray that you will give them the comfort to remind them that you are still in full control despite that challenge. We pray for healing for them or their loved ones. We pray for those who have broken relationships, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that you help them to be restored. Remind them, Lord God, to pray to you and to rest on you. I pray, Father God, for those who are still lost and still have a hard heart, Father God, to your gospel. I pray that sooner or later, Lord God, you will just open it and soften it, and that they will receive you as their Lord and Savior. I pray for everyone, Lord God, in all their concerns and worries. I pray, Father God, that you will just remove it and help us trust you more. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the Lord's people said, amen, amen.